Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's your favorite chocolate?
At the moment?
I reckon I can guess, actually.
Oh, interesting. Go on.
Yeah, Terry's chocolate orange.
No. Francis?
Boost bar.
I get another.
Oh, actually, I like that, but no.
I'm going to get another. Okay, no, it has to just be a chocolate. You can't have like things added to it.
Boost bar.
Yeah, you've got like nougat and things like that in it, don't you? And caramel. Okay, your favourite chocolate.
Oh,
okay.
Wait, Lion bar.
No, that's no. Again, that's got added extra bits. Lion bar, one of the most underrated things in the world. That's in a hand job. Yeah, it's true. Hand jobs are so underrated by yourself, by other people.
You've had a hand job from a lion. Imagine that. How terrifying that would be. He had opposable thumbs and less claws.
Your favourite chocolate, I reckon. Oh, I know. Lindt. You'd like
no,
Lindt.
It's not.
It's not Galaxy.
No, you're not going to get it.
Oh, of course I'll get it. Come on, Francis. Can't think of any more chocolates, can you?
Forgotten all the chocolates.
I'm going to tell you what it is, because it's Yorkie biscuit and raisin.
Is it really? That's yeah. A typical Grimsby boy to pick that. It's like it's such a northern, like, Yorkie.
Not for girls.
Which would never be allowed.
How mad was that? And it was fine.
Yeah.
It was fine. And then, like, about people going, you know the Yorkie slogan? Yeah, we should get rid of that, but never mention it ever again. Let's never mention it. Going, yeah, okay, hopefully no one will realise.
Yeah, they used the advert, was a girl picking up, like, you're not allowed that. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two. We're still here with Lloyd. Hey, buddy.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Dude, so good, man. This is one of my favourite podcasts.
Oh, you say that every week,
but I promise you, I like it when... Do you know what I like? I like it when there has humour, there has, like, conversation, it's sweet, it's nice, it's natural. Because what happens in some podcasts is, you know, you're chatting to someone who we don't know all the background, so you go in, like, narrative order. You go, like, okay, so what do you do when you're younger? It's so nice when you can just sit and just talk about, like, random things.
Well, speaking about random things and chocolate earlier, I've just got another little nugget of information. Mm-hmm. You know the Maltesers teaser bar?
Mm.
So they've got obviously Maltesers, and then
is that
got,
the one that looks like a? It's like a chocolate bar.
It's but a chocolate bar, but it's got like round. It's rounded.
Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
But do you know what? So a friend from home. So it's my sister's friend. I think her boyfriend came up with the idea. He works on Mars, and I think this is true. And if not, just use it as a story over a dinner party. basically, he was like, "Look, guys, we're getting away. Like we're whittling away all this Malteser, the honeycomb. Is it honeycomb?
Mm.
And all that's going to waste." He was like, "How about we get all that and the excess chocolate and we melt it all together to make a bar?" And apparently, it's their most profitable chocolate bar.
Oh, really? Well, it's not honeycomb. It's like a malt.
Yeah.
Comb. Yeah.
The stuff that's inside the malt. So I'm not sure if that's true, but it's a good story, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know how many chocolate digestives are eaten a day in the UK?
No, I don't.
What?
3 million?
Three.
Yeah, you just... I just said
a lot more than that, mate.
Three and a half million. 700 to 800 lorries leave the factory a day.
Are you just trying to brag about how much money?
Yeah, I'm basically I'm basically loaded.
And I'd like to thank the British public for enabling this podcast to happen. Thank you very much.
But like, listen, we've got to get into a little
bit. Do you get freebies?
No, because we sold it in.
You could walk in though, couldn't you?
I went and opened one of their factories once.
Oh my god, that would be the dream.
They're also all bakers. Everyone's in there. They're all bakers.
Wow.
Which I never thought. They're bakers. They're actual bakers. They wear little hats. They're bakers.
That is so good.
And they're all baking. And it's just love. It's like Great British
Bake
Off.
What did you expect?
Well, I didn't. I thought it was like
battery sheet.
I thought it was like mechanical. I just didn't know. I just thought it was going to be machinery.
Did you run all the bakers against a fence and hopefully they'll push the wall of the fence out?
And they ran to their own.
And then escape.
And the head baker was like, "Where are they?" But like, we've got to talk about, man, because as we said right at the beginning, Grimsby didn't have that much comedy, had nothing at all. So how did you... You went to Exeter. Did you start doing comedy at Exeter?
Well, I trained to be a professional singer, so I kind of like...
Choir man.
And that's what you wanted to do?
Yeah, so I was a chorister throughout my whole life. Did like GCSE and music A level. And it just seemed that's what I was going to do. Went to university at Exeter. Read music, was a choral scholar in the cathedral. Then when I left there, I became a lay vicar at Guildford Cathedral, which basically meant I sang in the services every day, like I think six services a week. A lay vicar. So basically like lay just means out of holy orders.
Okay. From a member of the public.
Yeah, or you could be called a lay clerk, which is another same kind of thing. But when I was at Exeter, I used to do like extra bits and bobs, used to sing in a close harmony group, which is as depressing as it sounds. But it was quite good, you know. We used to like sing we used to sing in like close harmony, go to like old people's homes or country fairs, whatever, and sing all sorts of shit.
And you think this is going to get me?
No, but what I was doing, I was doing these little concerts, and when I was introducing the pieces, they were getting a bit of a laugh, and I'd have a little joke about it. And I was like, oh, I think I enjoyed this bit more than the singing. And then I did a thing at university. We had the extra rag fashion show, and it was me and a chap called Freddie who hosted it. And the year after, it was Tom Deacon. Can you remember Tom Deacon?
Yeah, I do remember Tom Deacon. Yeah,
so really funny comedian. And after that, went on to be like a Radio 1 DJ and stuff. And he had a comedy night, but I was the year above, sorry. So I didn't really do any comedy in Exeter either. And it wasn't until I got to London, I went to a comedy club in East London, and it was Backyard Comedy Club hosted by...
And you must be, what, 23, 24?
Yeah, about 22 to 24, I think, at the time. And I went to Backyard Comedy Club in East London. I was living in Shoreditch at the time because I was an absolute bad boy.
Fuck, that's edgy.
You're so edgy, yeah.
That's where all the methadone was
and
going on.
The irony is, there's not an edge on me. Little round fat man who didn't like drugs in East London, just trying to find a church to sing in. All my mates were snorting little bags of whatever.
Just phoning Diane every night, just going freaky.
Oh God, they're at it again, Di. Can you come down? I can't, I'm shit-faced. Okay, Mum, see you later. Also, tell them lads to bring me up some bag next time. Okay, Mum, I will do. So I went to this comedy club with a few friends of ours. It was called Backyard Comedy Club, although I think at the time it was called Finfig Comedy Club, run by Lee Hurst. And the first night I went... opening the night, what Lee Hurst was comparing, opening was Milton Jones, who is absolutely, he was outstanding. Yeah. And he hadn't done that much TV then. In the middle was a chap called Stefano Paolini, who was a brilliant comedian. And then closing was Mickey Flanagan. And again, it was before Mickey had done TV stuff. And I just couldn't believe, in a room of like, what, 200, 250 people, it was like a normal weekend comedy club. I just couldn't believe how they had this room in like stitches. Like, how have we not heard of these? How are these not on the TV? And then Lee Hurst was in the bar afterwards. Went and spoke to him and said, look, mate, how would you get into that? Is it a job? He's like, yeah, you know, these guys are getting paid between 150 and 300 quid a night, you know, and they just write jokes, go around comedy clubs. Like, well, how do you do it? How do you do it? He's like, well, you can't do it here. This is a professional one. But why don't you go down to King's Head, Crouch End, or the Comedy Cafe in Shoreditch? And that's what I did. I went down to those ones, saw like the open mic nights and started writing my material and then got 5 minutes together, which was horrific.
Was it real? Can you give a snippet? Open with anything?
My opening joke, right? So
I can't wait.
So you talked about all those comedians earlier on, and like Adam Hess, Rhys James, James Acaster, and the like. They've all got their own unique style. And I've realised in my new show, I talk about this, how like I'm just a little fat idiot, and I'll just do anything to make you laugh. You know, I don't really have much of a say on anything. I will just do anything to make you laugh. But at the start, I thought I was an edgy comedian. I thought, oh, I'm dark, I'll go down these dark avenues, and people will love it because they won't expect it because I'm so chubby and charming.
So you're trying to, So you wanted to be like a dark comedian.
So and at no point had I gone, oh really? I was always the class clown at school. I mean, and then when I started writing comedy, I was like, I'll go down the dark route, which is the default setting for most new comedians. They'll start doing edgy stuff. And it's like Jack Whitehall used to do kind of like Stuart Lee-esque routines. Mm. But now he's this, you know, very funny posh man.
Yeah, that's like camp and posh and things like that.
So I started, and this is my opening joke, and it kills me when I say it, and I talk about it in the new show. My opening routine, and I'm so sorry. My opening routine was this. I'd be like, hi there, my name's Lloyd. And I'd wear as well. When I used to wear a pink polo neck top with a purple cardigan. Blue jeans.
When was this?
So it's like quite blobby-esque. Yeah. Quite Mr. Blobby.
Oh, I mean, I went, you know, like a proper method on that.
When was this?
2008, 2009. So like 10 years ago now. Fuck, 10 years
ago. That was when Milton Jones kind of blew up.
Exactly,
like
yeah. So I went to see Milton Jones like 2005, 2006. And then I, 2007. Yeah, so it was kind of like, there's like 2 or 3 years of me going to see them and then me writing stuff and then actually doing it. My opening joke was like, hiya, my name is Lloyd. I'm from Grimsby. Grimsby is famous for two things. You know what those two things are? And people always shout, fish, go, yeah, fish. And Ian Huntley. That was my opening line.
Did it get a good laugh?
The weird thing is, yes. Yeah. Which made me keep doing it.
Because everyone's sadistic, so they can't
go, I'm fishing and Ian Huntley. And then my topper was like, so if you need your kids filleting, give me a shout. That was my opening joke. I love the sound technician has basically just vomited in his mouth. Like, it was, oh my God. That was my opening gambit. That was my opening line.
Technically quite a funny joke.
If you were doing like a really dark comedy night where people didn't tweet about it afterwards, then absolutely fine.
But then, that was what do you then drift into after that?
Oh, talk about being fat.
But do you think that because of Twitter now that it's kind of ruined it because people are now like taking things out of context?
No. I think if I did that joke now, people would go, "Oh, that." Because
has that happened? Sorry, Francis.
It's clearly a joke, you know. So.
It is clearly a joke, but I think also, and, you know, and there are certain comedians that can, you know, I think it was Jimmy Carr that said that you can joke about most things. There's certain things you can't joke about. I think he said Hillsborough is one of the things that you can't joke about. Yeah. But there's a lot of things that you can, you know, if there is humour for it, you know, as Ivor mentioned, comedy is tragedy plus time. So you should be able to joke about most things. And, you know, nowadays you see memes that come through on WhatsApps or on private Instagram accounts and you kind of go, oh yeah, that's a bit close to the bone. But I don't think so. But the reason why I stopped doing it was because it wasn't me. Like, that wasn't who I was. Yeah. I was like a little tubby fat clown.
Yeah, but I think that my thing is right, is that you, what gave you the confidence to realise that it was you, that wasn't you, right? Because you're going, right, it's getting a little bit of laughs, here we go. And that's changing your whole kind of persona routine when you start out. That's a tricky moment, right? So you change all of that.
There's a comedian called Ivor Dembina. Now, most comedians have heard of him, but most general public wouldn't. He saw me at a gig and he's like, can we have a few writing sessions? Me and you. And he was like, look, we had a few writing sessions together. He was like, I don't think that's you. That's not you. He's like, there were bits, he recorded the night and we went through it. He goes, the bits where there was funniest and most natural bits, he goes, that's you. Where you're coming across, where you're not writing scripted stuff that isn't, you don't care about that.
Because he saw talent in you, he knew you were good.
He didn't see talent, but he just saw, like, again, I keep going back to it, a little funny fat man. He was like, that, you're the court jester.
I guess also because, like, once you've done, you know, even though it works, like, you know, once you've done it over and over again, you know, the material, I guess, isn't funny to you. So if you want to actually do stuff that's, like, funny to you, and that's true to yourself.
There's a comedian called John Kearns, who I absolutely adore. He won the Perrier Newcomer, then the year after won the main Perrier Prize. And he's a good mate of mine, and he's offered me, like, some of the best advice I've ever had. He came to see my show in Edinburgh, maybe like 4 years ago. And he said, are you happy when you're on stage? I was like, yeah, for the majority of the time. He goes, what do you mean? I was like, well, in an hour show, I'm happy for about 40 minutes. And there's like 15 minutes of material that I'm like, yeah. He's like, get rid of it. If you're not happy doing it, why are you happy to give it to the crowd? Mm. I was like, oh, that's really interesting. So I got rid of that 15 minutes. Then basically the next night went in knowing I only had 40. But had much more fun with that 40, a few ad libs.
Because you could just jump around it a bit more.
Jump around a little bit more. But, like, again, just being happy in what you're doing and going, if I'm happy telling a joke, then I think it comes across and then the audience will be happy. Comedy, you can't, if you're a rich, successful man, like someone like Jack, you have to take the piss out of yourself the whole time. You could never come out on top because if people are going, well, you've got a lot of money, mate. Yeah. And you have to be the butt of the joke pretty much the whole time.
That is good. But you've got it, and you have all of your close buddies are in comedy and things like that. And your friends, as you said, we have loads of your friends who've come on the podcast before, and they all rave. And the great thing about you guys, you all rave about each other, which I love so much. And I said this before, I find it, there's only really two industries which I've come across where people are just so willing to help each other. And that's like when you're an entrepreneur starting a business, everyone wants to help. And in comedy, everyone's so friendly and nice.
I think the reason why is because everyone in comedy is an entrepreneur. Do you know what I mean? But you're selling your own.
Yeah. You're selling your own product.
And also as well, like, if you're an entrepreneur, you can get like backing from certain bodies and stuff, but there's no, if you're an actor, you go to acting school and you've got teachers, lecturers you can go back on and stuff. If you're a musician, you've probably had some sort of like musical advice, or you've got like a label or something. With comedy, you're kind of on your own. Yeah, you've got your agent, but you are on your own. And I think it's with entrepreneurs, like you're doing it on your own.
Yeah. But you are, you know, you're honing a product on stage, which you then take on tour.
I love that you did the duck, Connie. We had your buddy Reece James on the podcast, who we find is fucking hilarious.
There we go.
And he was telling us a story of when you were up in Edinburgh.
Yep.
And you got so drunk the night before, you didn't wake up, and what happened? And then you had to buy tickets for them.
Basically, I was going through, I think, one of my many breakups. And it was in Edinburgh where I was single, and I was just leathered the whole time. And it was, I think me and Reece were both up there doing our first ever show, like newcomer show. And I think Reece was taking it very seriously, and I was leathered 24/7, chirping, thinking, the career will happen at some point, mate. You know what I mean? And I remember Reece came in, and Reece was really not upset, but Reece came in and was like, I haven't been nominated for newcomer. And I could have been nominated for newcomer as well, I mean, if I'd written a different show. And I just remember going, I've not got a hangover. That's a result, isn't it? And I was thinking, they're very different. Yeah. And since then, I've kind of like worked hard. But it was the last night. And I said to Reece, are you going out? I'll have a few, but I'm not going big. I was like, yeah, no, same, me either. And I went pretty big, and I was...
Apparently you went enormous.
Yeah, I went quite enormous, yeah.
Was this the end of...
The last night of the Fringe, And I was seeing a girl at the time in Edinburgh, like a holiday romance.
And I went... holiday romance in Edinburgh. If anyone in Grimsby going to Edinburgh is a beaut holiday.
Oh, mate. It was a fucking holiday, mate. All right, you're crossing a border. They have different currency to an extent. It was a holiday. So Reece basically, right, so Reece takes a piss out of me for this story, but it's him because he's a little knob. He thought I had a girl in my room. So at like 10, I think our train was like 10:45, and at 10 my door was closed, and he thought I had a girl in there, and he was too scared to come in. So he like knocked on my door at like 10:20, was like, Lloyd. I was like, yeah. He was like, the train's in 20 minutes. I was like, why didn't you wake me up? He's like, I thought you had a girl in here. I was like, you're not allergic to him. It's not like water and gremlins, mate. It's like, just come in. It's like, the train's in 20 minutes. I'm like, I haven't packed.
But also, the funny, when anyone's in that situation, it's always, why didn't you wake me up? It's always the other person's fault.
It's not the 19 lagers I had the night before. It was like...
So then what happens? So you wake up.
So I'm like, right, we need to pack as quick as possible. I was like, have you packed? He's like, yeah, I packed last night. I was like, you fucking nerd. So he's helping me then pack, and he's like, we're going to miss the train. I know we're going to miss the train, mate. So I've got the train tickets. And then we basically get outside, and I can't find my phone. So we're in the taxi, can't find my phone, so I have to go in and get the phone. And it turns out the phone was actually in my bag the whole time. Anyway, we get to the train station, and we see the train rolling out of the station. And it was heartbreaking, because they're so expensive, especially around the Fringe and kind of like around a bank holiday weekend. We had to go to the train station, the ticket office. And I was like, Citeris, I was like, look, don't worry about it. I was like, I'll sort us out. He's like, okay, fair enough. I was like, this is going to cost so much money. He goes, yeah, but it was your fault. I was like, you didn't knock on my fucking door, mate, okay? I thought you had a girl in there. You are not scared of girls, mate. Grow up. You listen to Daniel Benefield, fine. But you are not scared of girls. You're a big boy now. Anyway, so we went to the ticket office. I was like, mate, I had a bit of a howler this morning. I was like, we booked tickets. Me and Reece were going back to London. And basically, we missed the train by about a minute or so. He's like, why? I was like, the taxi broke down. He's like, oh, the taxi broke down today. I was like, yeah, the taxi broke down, and we had to run the last bit. We just saw it pulling out, and I know. I mean, I know it's our fault. I mean, we should have booked it 5 minutes before, but we didn't take into account the taxi breaking down. He's like, right, have you been up at the Fringe? I was like, yeah, we've been doing shows here. He was like, how have they gone? I was like, well, pretty good for him. Not very good for me. He's like, all right, I'll see what I can do. And he goes, right, I can put you both on the next train. It'll just cost you £80. He's like, all right. I was like, that is an absolute beaut. So he just put us on the next train. And then Reese was like, how much does that cost? Like, it's about £300, mate, actually. So I think he's like, thought it was, but actually it was only £80. And then as I was so happy.
He said in the message, it would cost him £300. So he still thinks
yeah,
to
he still
this
thinks day. That. He's like, I mean, £80 is like not a problem. I mean, it was a problem at the time because I didn't have any work. But then, because I was so happy that it only cost £80, I paid for the little weekend upgrade as well. Just to make him feel really guilty. He was so angry the whole way.
But then also Reese went on to tell me another story.
Brilliant.
He said that... he once caught you wanking into a sock.
Oh,
he basically, before he could tell anyone else, you told everyone that you caught Reese wanking into a sock.
So what has happened here is this is the classic double bluff, okay? We were living together, me, him, Dan Schreiber, one of the QILs, Eric Lamper, very good comedian, actor, and we all lived together. And we were talking about, chops we've had, and he was like, I was like, I'm getting through quite a lot of toilet roll. Or I can't remember who said that, maybe it wasn't me, I can't remember. And he goes, oh, I just use a sock. And the whole room went silent. I went, what, mate? And he went, does no one else use that? No, Reese. And so it's always been the thing that I go, oh, you wanking to socks. Now, we did Comedy Central's roast battle a few months back, and it comes out on the 18th of January. Yeah. And he, I hope this go out afterwards, I'm sure.
Yeah,
if it
go
goes,
out afterwards
it doesn't
for
matter.
Sure.
He fucking rinsed me. We were like, right, what are we vetoing?
And did you say that before? So you have to go like...
No, so they basically say, Comedy Central going, look, are there anything, if there are any things you don't want to talk about? Do you know what I mean? Because most people go hell for leather. And I said, could we not talk about the fact that I didn't know my dad until I was like 12 years old? I was like, it's just, I'm not bothered about it. He goes, oh, there'd be quite a few good dad jokes in there. I was like, yeah, but it's just not.
You're actually feeling a bit sensitive about it. Can we just not?
I was like, look, if we veto and stuff, and I was like, have you got something to veto? I goes, yeah. I was like, okay, well, look, okay, like, I'm not really bothered. I was like, if we could just not talk about the dad stuff, that'd be great. I was like, also the ex-girlfriend thing. I was like, that. He goes, oh yeah, but there's no comedy in that. You've kind of like ruined that. I was like, okay, cool. He's like, and what about you? He goes, oh, just don't mention wanking in socks. I was like, yeah, that's fair enough, mate. Okay, not. And Reese is quite hard to roast because he's a lovely middle class white man who's had all the luck
and
in the world.
And he's quite smart.
Lived in a cul-de-sac in Harlesden, Harpenden, sorry, with two BMWs, a loving family. Like, the most angry he's ever been is when his parents split up for 2 weeks, then got back together again. Because he was like, oh, I've got no fucking pain in my life. I was like, no, you haven't, mate. It is the perfect upbringing. And then you're going on stage and be like, oh, look how sad I am, mate. I didn't have my fucking dad for 10 years, mate. So then we went to Comedy Central with the roast battle, and I'm like going, oh, he's only got one kidney, oh god, he's got big teeth, isn't he, oh, he's a prick. And Reese just goes, Lloyd doesn't know his dad. And like, my face, like, oh, are you fucking kidding me, mate? Are you? And he's quick, I'm, you know, we're both quick witted, but then I go, you've all right. And then I he did the dad joke. I was like, oh, I thought we'd vetoed dad jokes, but fair enough.
Did you do the
to which Jimmy Carr went, sorry Reese, genuinely, were dad jokes vetoed before this? And Reese went, oh yeah, they were. And Jimmy Carr goes, then you, my sir, are a fucking legend. I was like, oh, brilliant, okay. And I didn't have any capacity to go,
you couldn't come back
you, you wank in socks, mate, because it just looked as pathetic as that
just
sounded.
It just looks like you're bitter. It just looks like you're making stuff up.
So when you do the roast battle, I mean, is it, how long do you get to actually come up with the material?
I think like three or four weeks to come up, so you kind of have to like speak to friends and get stuff out of them. Luckily, I'd only ever do it with two people, Reese James and Rob Beckett, because they're, I'd say, like two of me like closest mates in comedy that, you know, I work with on a kind of like regular basis. And because that way it's just like, I don't want to do it with anyone else I don't know, because it's just cruel. And going back to that thing, I'm not really a cruel comedian. So I did roast battle and I enjoyed it, but I wouldn't want to do it with anyone else that I didn't know, because it's like, that's not my style or brand. But it was fun. And it, to be fair to Reese, like he fucking
did he
me.
Win?
I love that.
I wouldn't want to give it away for anyone that doesn't watch it. Please watch it.
Oh, wait. Also, we've got to take a moment there, because we've got to hear from our sponsors again. We're just making some coin right now, some sweet, sweet, sweet moolah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-.
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound. And you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, I remember when I was at talking of wanking. I remember we were talking at school about people where they wank, and one of my friends, what he would do,
where they wank.
Yeah, one
usually
of my
the crotch area.
One of my friends would be like, "Yeah, mate, what I do is it's really simple. I get a tissue paper, I sellotape it to my desk. I then put tissue paper on the ground. I wank onto the tissue paper. The weight of the semen rips it and it falls down the thing." And I went, "That's weird." And another guy went, "You do that?" And I went, "Yeah." And he goes, "Oh, I just wank onto my chest and rub it in."
Oh my god! But wait, so after learning that, did you actually try that out?
I never tried it out. But Reese sent me is so funny. He said,
"Did he send you a whole host of stuff for today?"
He sent a message through. Yeah, he went, "I just love this." He said, "He will also then claim that I wanked into a sock that month, but it's a weird defense mechanism because he wanked into a sock and told someone he, and so he started telling people I had before I could say anything. So he's likely to claim that, but the reality is he did it and he was embarrassed."
No, as I told you, I had a holiday romance. I didn't need to do that. I had a lovely girl there.
And then he also says, he's also known, you can read that last bit, pick up my dyslexia.
He's also known as a perennial support act.
Perennial support act.
That's what he said at the bottom.
So yeah, he basically.
Perineum support act.
Perineum support. He basically, that means that I've supported people on tour and no one wants him to support them, which is a shame. And I've said to him, "Look, if you want to support me on my tour, I'm more than happy to, you know, give you a little little nudge, give you a little boost, little climb up the ladder. Because life doesn't revolve on Twitter, Reese, okay? There are people out there that need entertaining."
I tell you who is actually so funny on Instagram and things like that. It's Adam Hess.
Adam Hess is very funny.
The funniest one he's done recently, and go and check out his Instagram, is first he says, "The letter A needs to stop sucking Tamara Salata's dick."
That is very funny.
And underneath he went, "Asked a guy who worked in Tesco where the Tamara Salata was, and he didn't know what it was, so I tried to describe it. And at one point, I used the phrase, fishy yogurt, and then I didn't want it anymore."
Do you know what? Taro Masalato is one of my favourite dishes.
Yeah, it's unbelievably good. It is unbelievably good.
Adam Hess is one of those ones where he's just a unique talent. Yeah, obviously, this sounds like I'm just noshing everyone off.
They're your mates.
But when you just see someone going, "Oh, yeah, you're really good."
I also like saying Rosebud. I love the fact that you had that thing. Oh, he doesn't know his dad, and then you went, "Oh, what?" And you looked for support from the judge.
Nothing. But then that's the spirit of Rosebud. It's like, well, nothing's off limits. Yeah, the vetoed things that we've got legally in an email, they're vetoed, mate. And then actually, Comedy Central came back like, "If you want us to take that out, that is absolutely fine. Did you veto?" I was like, "Yeah, I did veto it, but it's absolutely fine. And my dad lives in Australia, so he's not going to see it."
But
they don't have TVs in prison, am I right? Or do they? I don't know.
But it's actually because what happens is with, I think that America do it so well because America go ruthless. Yeah. America go ruthless on these things. The difference in the UK, we're quite timid to like take the piss out of each other.
Yeah.
But I feel like roast battle is actually working. It actually does work. So watched the last one? Did you watch Roast Battlefront?
No, I haven't seen it.
It's very funny. And I watched the last one, and that series was good. Yeah. It's funny. And I think this one will be even better.
One of my favourites from last season was Fern Brady and Ivor Graham, because they're two very different people. Ivor, obviously, privately educated, like a bit of a posh boy, whereas Fern, working class Glaswegian girl. And it was so good. Yeah. It was so good.
But how long do you plan it before? How long are you writing it before?
Yeah, like maybe like 2 weeks. Like, well, I guess it depends. Yeah, you did that's that. Yeah, huh? Still 2 weeks. Yeah, yeah, nothing's happened. Yeah, but then if you get someone that's got, you know, like he for Reese. He had so much on me. I'm a little fat bloke from Grimsby. Yeah, you know what I mean? Know.
You're quite an easy target
mate,
for that.
Literally and metaphorically an easy target. Do you know what I mean? If this was a shooting range, I'm done.
Right, we're coming to that point, Francis, where
answer to the question of the
week. Yeah, and then we need to have your diary, man.
The answer is...
What do we say, though? You said 64 million. 64 I said 75. I said 75 million.
The answer to the question of the week, which is how many people go to Major League Baseball games every year, is 54 million.
Are we doing the closest?
Yeah.
Then see, I'll take your jacket if that's okay.
That's not a fucking bad.
You get his jacket.
It won't fit. I can wear it as a, like, I can hold it over my shoulder.
Like you're in a gang.
Yeah.
Like you're in a gang. Right, Francois, also, dude, we haven't had this in a while, so please let's have your diary, man, because we want to hear a little snippet.
I enjoyed your diary when I listened to it on Ivo's.
Oh, really? What was my diary?
It was a bit about the Boohoo Man.
Oh, no. The funny thing, when he said that. So he was being nippled.
Boohoo Man?
The other bit when he said that the 4-year-old was being breastfed. Yes. And I went the 4-year-old or 6-year-old come, I go, yeah, sat behind that bloke from Maiden Chelsea while sucking my mum's tit. Ivo is just too good. Right, Francis, let's have your diary.
After my morning coffee and grits, I sat down to read the news in my new reading chair by the fire and smoked a pipe. I sent a quick WhatsApp message to old Jeremiah Birch, the chimney sweep. My message contained some times that Jeremiah could come and clean the soot from my chimney today.
Sounds like a really weird metaphor.
It sounds like Charles Dickens has got a phone.
But wouldn't you believe it? Just as I sent the message, old Jeremiah Birch called me anyway.
It does. It sounds like some Oliver Twist.
We joked and old Jeremiah told tall tales, as he has been known to do on Tuesday mornings. And we talked for hours, as men will do. We reminisced about the old times down at the sawmill. We laughed about old Buddy Gomez. What a character he was, old Gomez. Not a day goes by that I don't think of him and his tragic and untimely death. I told Gomez that if you eat too many bananas, you will darn sure keel over and die. But he didn't listen. No, ma'am. There he was, eagerly running back across the road from old Jerry Carmichael, the town banana salesman, with a basket of fresh bananas ready to prove me wrong.
Bit of a tongue twister, that, wasn't it?
When a banana came loose and fell at his feet and he slipped, and all his bananas went sky high. He would have survived the fall if not for the banana lorry that ran him over. The banana lorry driver and old Jerry Carmichael argued for hours over to whom Buddy Gomez's bananas now belonged. Buddy Gomez might well have lived had it not been for this protracted, unnecessary discussion about the rightful claim to the bananas. For the lorry blocked the road and the ambulance couldn't get by. Sorry, it's getting a bit... That's the story.
I love that, how he says, sorry, it's getting a bit.
I was getting a bit carried away. That's the story of old Buddy Gomez. One story, at least. Old Jeremiah Birch hung up the phone and I realised the times I'd WhatsApped him earlier would now confuse him, so I deleted them from our WhatsApp conversation. And wouldn't you believe it? In place of the message I just said, this message had been deleted, which went and confused old Jeremiah Birch even more. He called me right back after and interrogated me for several hours about why I deleted the original message and what it had actually said. He's a paranoid old guy, old Jeremiah. Eventually the sun came down, so we agreed it was probably too dark to clean the chimney. We made arrangements to reschedule.
Is that it?
That's Tuesday.
Have you picked up the...
Well done, buddy. got to leave it. That was too good.
That is good.
I like that, man. Hey, Lloyd, dude, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Honestly, it's been an absolute pleasure. You know, I'm a big fan of the podcast.
No, dude, you're so funny. And the thing that I still, to this day, Lloyd and I played a charity football game the other day, and I'm still...
You were really good.
Deceptively
good.
All right, you guys, come on.
No, Lloyd was on it. He's called the cat, honestly. He was so...
Fat cat.
Yeah, he's so agile. And he saved the winning penalty. I mean,
No big deal.
It was unbelievable. The funny, I just can't tell you, I still was laughing at over Christmas about it, where Lawrence Dallaglio was playing a defence, and Lawrence Dallaglio messed up.
Good at rugby.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah,
football.
And Lloyd just kept shouting from the sideline, Lawrence, it's your fault. Work back, Lawrence. Lawrence, it's your fault.
Do your runner now, Lawrence. Chase it. Lawrence.
Was he getting pissed off?
I don't think he could hear me.
Just shouting at Lawrence, like, Lawrence, say sorry. Put your hand up, Lawrence.
Yes, well done, Lawrence. I was like, oh, he has hurt me. Shit. But then I saved the winning penalty. No big deal, guys. Stop mentioning it. But then Lawrence got his comeuppance because he started the pile on. And I just turned around and saw the massive, godly frame of Lawrence Dallaglio chasing towards me. I was like, I think he's going to enter me.
And all Lloyd just went is, oh, shit.
He was shit.
Lloyd, man, honestly, dude, you are such a funny guy.
Thank you, mate.
On stage and off. You really, really are. You deserve all the success in the world. You can follow you on Instagram.
Yeah, I love how Ivo was like, no, don't follow me. I was like, right, honestly, yeah, follow me, please. Yeah.
No, because you are hilarious. So your Instagram is?
Instagram is at Lloyd Griffith, LLOYDGRIFFITH. Twitter's the same. It's all the same. And then, yeah, I'm on tour, basically.
Right now?
By the time this comes out, I'm on it starts on the 29th of January. I start in Edinburgh.
Is it all year?
It's like 3 months. So I'm doing like 30 dates.
Wow.
Where can we get your tickets from?
Yeah, from lloydgriffith.com, and I'm up and down the country, so most cathedral cities.
Do you prefer doing a tour in that part of the year rather than sort of summer or...
Yeah, I don't really...
Do people go do tours?
I'll do it anytime.
But basically...
Do people do tours over the summer?
No, because people want to be outside, don't they?
Yeah.
And that is why comedy...
Festival tours.
That's why Edinburgh Fringe does so well, because it's in August and it's shit weather, so people go, oh, let's go inside. So I think anything from October through to April is kind of like good. So I'm on tour January through to like May. LloydGriffith.com, please come and see me. Some venues are sold out, but some very much aren't.
But honestly,
Edinburgh and Swindon.
Yeah. Honestly, to all of our listeners, if you are, go and check it out, because if you don't go and see him, you'll be missing out. Honestly, you'll be missing
less
out.
Less nasal as well on the tour.
Yeah, but you're genius, mate. So go and check it out. Buddy, thank you so much for coming on. You're a hero. What we like to do at the end of our podcast is leave our audience with something inspirational.
Yeah. I knew you were going to do this. I fucking forgot. I'd like to leave you with something inspirational, and that is never eat cod, always eat haddock.
That's actually very good advice, because cod is overfished
and also bottom feeders.
Yeah,
plenty of worms in cod. Haddock fresh,
but actually there are some other, you know, even haddock is now being a bit overfished.
It's not the overfished thing, it's the bottom feeders. Yeah. And also like Grimsby,
like place.
Yeah. Well, I don't really know. Just eat haddock.
I love the advice.
How about me depth here now, Francis? I don't know what's going on. Just eat haddock, not cod.
Lloyd, thank you so much. Cheers. We really appreciate it. Yes, guys, so much love. We'll see you next week. Peace, love, Lloyd.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.